Americans from all walks of life are encouraged to share their stories for the country's 250th birthday. The World Cup brings Northwest Arkansas soccer fans together, and all things Arkansas are being celebrated at a multi-day festival in the Little Rock area this weekend. Those stories and more are coming up this week on the News Wrap from the Arkansas Newsroom. I'm Daniel Breen, News Director of Little Rock Public Radio. Each week, we're recapping the top stories from all across the Natural State. We'll unpack the headlines, share exclusive insights, and provide the context you need to fully grasp the issues that matter most to Arkansans. That's this week on the Arkansas News Wrap, coming up right after the news from NPR. This is the Arkansas News Wrap. I'm Daniel Breen with Little Rock Public Radio. If you haven't heard yet, the 2026 FIFA World Cup is underway in cities across North America right now. And American fans are reveling in the global game like never before. KUAF's Daniel Carruth takes us to one fan zone closer to home.
It's early evening and the sun is just starting to dip behind treetops at Luther George Park in Springdale. But the festivities are just getting underway on this breezy June night. A steady wave of people are hauling lawn chairs, picnic blankets, and coolers of snacks as they begin to mass in front of a 20-foot LED screen set up on the park's bandstand, while the sounds of Telemundo pour out of two loudspeakers. Alex Mendoza is kitted out in the classic blue and white Argentina jersey as he takes his seat on the lawn.
Just came to watch the Argentina game. The GOAT Messi's playing today, trying to win his second World Cup.
Tonight is the watch party for the World Cup match between Algeria and Argentina, and nearly 100 people are crowding this park in Springdale on a Tuesday night to experience it in person, including Laura Edwards and her son Ethan, who's also sporting a Lionel Messi jersey.
Yeah, I think my favorite thing about the World Cup is that it's such a community experience and there's fans from all over. Even in Springdale, there's people from all over, all backgrounds coming. Just watching together, cheering together makes it even more exciting. Probably our favorite family activity. We play soccer together, we watch soccer together, we talk about soccer together, so big soccer family.
These watch parties, which will show all of the matches to the community for free, are put on by downtown Springdale and are the brainchild of the director of events, Nando Garcia.
Well, thankfully, we've got a lot of support from the city. They've trusted us with our programming and plan building this. And so from the jump, they've been in support. And really, it's been looking like we partner with Parks and Rec, the Springdale Parks and Rec, to make this happen. And it's been to their great support and partnership. We've been able to plan out marketing and getting the word out about it. But really just, yeah, a lot of great effort behind the scenes. And then the licensing was something, working with FIFA. They've been gracious enough to recognize the impact that we were hoping to have from this. And so they were super lenient and gave us the whole tournament. And it was super, super generous of them. And they pretty much said, hey, we see your vision, we see your heart, and we'd love for you guys to feature the entire tournament, no strings attached.
And he says these watch parties for Springdale, which has a 42% Hispanic population, are more than just soccer.
There's a lot of depth behind just the reality of the Latin community feeling safe to come out and be a community and feel connected and not feeling like they got to stay at home and not be invited into an institution that is like a downtown, like a city entity, and creating environments that are welcoming, but also it's not just the Latin community, it's all the countries. There's a bunch of Algerians here tonight. And so that's what's so beautiful naturally about the World Cup, is it's really bringing all the communities, cultures together. And there's so many in Northwest Arkansas, so it makes it really incredible. But really bringing them to the same space, watching the same game, is such a great concept. This is our front room, pretty much, our living room. We're watching the same TV, invited all of our friends over. That's really what it looks like right now.
Before the match starts, David Mendoza picks a spot near the center of the lawn and settles in with his wife and son. He says while he couldn't afford a ticket to travel to tonight's match in Kansas City, having his town come together around soccer is something he didn't expect.
Because it's the first time ever I see them do something like this, and we decided to, it could be a cool experience. Because it's the sport I've been playing ever since I have memory. since I was a little boy in El Salvador, and then when my firstborn was born, I had him in the soccer fields cheering on me before he was a year old, and now he has a love for the sport as well. So I don't know. It's a passion. It's a type of a different type of love that I love to transmit to my kids and my family.
Luther George Park will continue to host more watch parties throughout the summer, leading up to the final on July 19th. And Nando Garcia says everyone is welcome.
It's free. There's no strings attached. Come out and just be a community. Bring food, buy food while you're here, and just enjoy each other. And recognize the people watching beside you are just like you. They have the same heartbeat. They love and care for their family just as much as you do. And so why not be one family together?
That was KUAF's Daniel Carruth reporting. To commemorate America's 250th birthday, StoryCorps and NPR's Morning Edition are inviting listeners to participate in Connect 250, a nationwide storytelling initiative. KASU's Marty Scarborough spoke with StoryCorps founder Dave Isay about what listeners and participants can expect.
Well, regular public radio listeners, especially those who tune in to Morning Edition on Fridays, are familiar with StoryCorps, but some people may not be. So for those who've not yet heard of StoryCorps, how would you describe that project?
So StoryCorps is a pretty simple idea. We set up booths all over the country where you can bring anyone who you want to honor by listening to their story, your mom, grandma, your sister, your brother. You come to this booth, you're met by a facilitator who works for StoryCorps, brings you inside this booth. It's like the sound booth that you're in. It's completely silent, lights are low. You sit at a table across from your grandma, and you ask questions and you listen for 40 minutes. And, you know, as you well know, the microphone gives you the license to say things, to ask things you've never asked before. So people think of this as, if I had 40 minutes left to live, what would I ask of my grandma? What would I say to my grandma? Everybody cries. At the end of the 40 minutes, you get a copy. Another one stays with us and goes to the Library of Congress so your great-great-great-grandkids can get to know your grandma through her voice and story. So essentially, it's this American kind of collection of wisdom effort that's been going on for a long time now, 23 years. We've had about 750,000 people participate, and it's the single largest collection of human voices ever gathered. And it's kind of a beautiful testament to who we are as Americans.
Can you tell us how this project got started? What was the light bulb moment when you decided this is something that we need to undertake?
Well, it was every experience I ever had in my life. I was speaking with the guy who founded StoryCorps with me, who was employee number one at StoryCorps a couple of weeks ago. And he told me that I said to him, because I used to make radio documentaries, and I said to him, I want the rest of the country to know how it feels to be able to walk up to someone who you know or you don't know, put a microphone in front of them and ask like these questions and honor them by listening to them. To me, it's like the greatest like thrill of a lifetime. And I want everybody to have that thrill. So that's one reason I started it. But every experience of my life, when I was a kid, I interviewed my grandparents, and this was a long time ago. And it was on a cassette deck that happened to be around, early cassette deck. And I lost the tape, and I still, all these years later, look for that tape of my grandparents' voice. And with StoryCorps, guaranteed that thing's going to be there for your great-great-great-great-great-grandkids. So the Library of Congress piece was extremely important. But really, you know, the essence of StoryCorps is that listening is an act of love, that sitting with someone and looking them in the eyes and asking them the important questions in life is a gift. It's a gift for the listener, and it's a gift for the person asking the questions. So a long answer to your good, quick question.
Well, so what's the concept behind Connect 250? How is it different than what you typically do with StoryCorps?
Sure. So this is a crazy, crazy effort that is happening in real time as we speak. You know, about a month ago, 5 weeks ago, 6 weeks ago, you know, I think the people at StoryCorps felt that what was happening for the 250th anniversary of the country was, I don't know, it lacked a certain intimacy, I guess you could say. And that, you know, public radio, radio in general is kind of whispers more than shouts. And we wanted to do a whisper project that was meaningful and that was built to last for the 250th. So we are right now, as we speak, furiously working to build a digital platform that makes it possible for people all across the country to have StoryCorps conversations that go to the Library of Congress. We're basically trying to build a time capsule of American voices in July of 2026, where our great-great-great-grandkids will get to listen someday and say, oh, you know, that's who these people were in 2026. It's kind of a Hey America, Meet America effort. And we have we have signups open now. You can sign up at connect250.org. That's connect and the number 250.org. You sign up, and then the platform will be finished on July 7th. And then you will have a chance to be matched with another American from somewhere else in the country and have a 40-minute conversation with all the StoryCorps questions. No facilitator there. We don't. It's just you and this person over a Zoom platform, a Zoom-like platform that's protected. 40-minute conversation, and then when you hit end, it goes to the Library of Congress. So it's a little bit crazy, but StoryCorps, you know, does beautiful things, I think, and often does beautiful things kind of last minute, and this would be the latter. So we're really excited about this. We've had thousands of people sign up so far, and we want, you know, Arkansas, great storytellers, great people. We would love as many people as humanly possible to sign up right now and be a part of this effort that really says who we are as Americans now.
Well, I know that typically with StoryCorps, you have people that are having a conversation who already have a well-established relationship, you know, family members, for instance. But with Connect 250, you're pairing two strangers together. Tell us about the thought process about doing that.
Yeah, I mean, most StoryCorps interviews are, you know, people, it's hard to get a StoryCorps reservation, and people think, like, who's that one person in my life I want to honor by listening to them? But we decided, you know, with our, it's a moment where, you know, we don't talk to our neighbors as much as we used to. There's a lot of fear in the country. And we thought that putting strangers together, just kind of giving people who don't know each other the chance to get to know each other, is like a very American thing to do. And, you know, I think it may sound a little bit intimidating, but I guarantee you when you come out the other end, you're going to have a friend. So when you sign up, you give your name and where you live, and you write a little bio of yourself. And what appears in the system, it's kind of like a dating app. What appears in the system is your first name, where you live, and the bio of your bio, your brief bio about of who you are. And then, you see other people's bios, where they live, their first name, and you pick who you want to be paired with. And then over a chat, you set a time, and then you're off to the races, and you have this 40-minute conversation with a stranger. Again, it sounds a little bit scary, but we've done many, many, many test interviews, and it's a remarkable and beautiful experience.
Well, how can you imagine that people might react to hearing some of these conversations, say, 50 or 100 years from now? What are you hoping to document, and how people might interpret America in 2026 by listening to these decades in the future?
Well, I think what happens in all StoryCorps conversations is that we're collecting the wisdom of humanity. So I think you're going to hear a lot of wisdom, you're going to hear a lot of heart, and you're going to hear the truth about who we are as Americans. You know, if you watch 24-hour news or you read a lot of the, you know, blogs, and if you read Twitter, I don't think you get a real sense of the decency and you know, heart and courage of Americans. And that's what you get in a StoryCorps interview. I've had people say to me many times, like, if Martians came down to Earth and they could only hear one thing about who we are, like, please, God, let it be a StoryCorps interview.
That was StoryCorps founder Dave Isay speaking with KESU's Marty Scarborough. More information on the Connect 250 program is online at connect250.org. The Arkansas Folklife Festival kicks off in Central Arkansas this weekend. Little Rock Public Radio's Nathan Treese spoke with Rachel Reynolds, the festival's director, to learn more.
So give me the elevator pitch for the Arkansas Folklife Festival. What is it, and why are we celebrating now?
Well, this is the 250th anniversary of our nation, And that kind of gave me a reason to think about, actually I was posed with the question of, through the lens of my work, how would I choose to celebrate America 250? And given the way that things are right now in the world, I kind of knew immediately that I wanted to center the people that make this country and state great every day, and have for not only the last 250 years, but way before that, right? You know, we weren't the first inhabitants of Arkansas in the country. So that was the genesis, was to think about, we call it the People's 250, and thinking about centering voices. And in doing that, also thinking about those voices that haven't historically had a seat at the table of defining who and what our culture in Arkansas are. And that's how we wanted to do it, or think about it. And we decided that, you know, I'm not the one to define that. The people of Arkansas are the ones to define that. So it has been a really fun experiment to have, and a gift, to have support to be able to go about it this way. But we spent almost a year. We held 18 community engagement events across the state. I identified 6 cultural regions, and we did events. And again, centering voices that historically hadn't had a seat at the table of defining who and what Arkansas culture are, and let people tell us how they wanted to see their region represented, what they were proud of, in terms of music and dance and craft and food of our state. And really, this festival has been built with all of those voices in the mix. That's directly what programmed this festival.
And there are 2 headliners, Bobby Rush and Lucinda Williams, but also a host of other artists. Tell me about them.
Right. Well, you know, we wanted to go big for the People's 250. And I think 2 of the iconic voices that have come out of our state are Bobby Rush and Lucinda Williams. And we're thrilled to be able to bring them down to the Arkansas River for everyone to be able to enjoy. Both are multi-Grammy winners and having a moment right now. Lucinda was just named one of the top 30 living songwriters in the country, and has a brand new album out that's getting great reviews. And of course, Bobby was on the Grammy Award winning Center Stone track and was just performing on the Oscars. So we're thrilled to have them. But also, you know, across, there's so many Arkansas stories that are told through music in particular. And at our festival, you'll get a good cross section of that. Everything from, we have a family from Izard County. They lead the music at the Cumberland Presbyterian Church in Mount Olive. That church is celebrating its 200th year. 3 generations of that family are going to be performing as part of our Arkansas Gospel Homecoming. And their family has led the music in that church for 8 generations. So for longer than Arkansas has been a state, this church and that family have been singing music in Arkansas together. And you might not, you know, you wouldn't be able to Google them and find them on YouTube, right? These are the deep stories of Arkansas culture that we've been able to find. And then also a lot of, they would all hate this term, right? But Americana artists that have garnered national and international attention in the modern day from Arkansas: Dylan Earle, Nick Shoulders, Willie Carlisle, Jude Brothers. They're all going to be there. You can experience everything from classical Indian dancing, ballet folklorico, a big community square dance, and traditions around picking circles. Just something from every corner of the state, representing the different cultural geographies that we share.
The event is also part of a Smithsonian celebration that's of the people, the Smithsonian Festival of Festivals. Tell me a little bit about that, if you could.
So we're thrilled and honored to be able to be a part of the Smithsonian's of the People Initiative, and that is their celebration of America 250, the Of the People. They have a Of the People piece, a For the People piece, and a By the People piece. The Of the People piece is that festival of festivals. They're plugging in. They historically have done a Smithsonian Folklife Festival on the National Mall there in D.C. for 2 weeks every year around this time. And I had the opportunity to be a guest curator for that in 2023 when the topic was the Ozarks. So in some ways, this festival comes out of that experience that I had there and seeing how people came together as well. But this year, they've taken it for America 250. They've taken it off the National Mall and plugged into 34 festivals across the country. We're one of four that it is their first, you know, their inaugural festival, and honored to be a part of that. Also, you know, festivals like Burning Man and Farm Aid are a part of that. So it's a really cool thing that Arkansas gets to plug in.
And what other attractions will be there?
That Movement Music Parade is perhaps the thing I am most excited about. It is the People's 250, right? And we want to lean into, ultimately, we have the answers if we can come together. And music has been a tool to do that, to affect positive change for decades. Our partners in this are the Clinton Library. So this parade will start at the Clinton Library and acknowledge our partners and the efforts. It's kind of tied to their Making Amends exhibit that they have right now about reconciliation and the draft amendments to the Constitution dealing with civil rights, women's rights, voting rights, citizenship, these sorts of things. They have the actual documents from the National Archives right now. So we're plugging into that and focusing on Arkansans who have shaped some of these movements through music. And we have a songbook that we've created along with the Highlander Center and Detuli Artists Collective that will distribute to folks, and we'll walk across the Arkansas River together singing. And yes, there will be two giant puppets, actually. There'll be a giant mama possum with an iron skillet, and there'll be a king. Those are characters that show up frequently when artist Willie Carlisle performs, and he'll be leading that. And there'll be song leaders associated from around Arkansas with those different movements I mentioned, sprinkled throughout the crowd to help lead songs with the crowd that join us. There's all kinds of supports for folks who can't physically make that 1.1-mile walk. We can help with that. We've got site guides. We've got ASL interpreters. We have golf carts to help with mobility. We just really want everyone to come out and share that time together.
That was Rachel Reynolds, director of the Arkansas Folklife Festival. More information on the event happening this weekend at Riverfront Park in North Little Rock is available online at arkansasfolklifefestival.org. And that's it for this week. The Arkansas News Wrap is brought to you by the Arkansas Newsroom, a collaboration between KUAF in Fayetteville, KASU in Jonesboro, and Little Rock Public Radio. You can find this week's episode on any of our station's websites. Until next time, I'm Daniel Breen, and this is the Arkansas News Wrap.